You can hear me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, or good lunch, or whatever. Second week. First of all, I'm sorry, but I have to do the following. Running a little bit behind the schedule, but the plan for the course should be finalized by Wednesday. I need a few more days, since I'm in charge of a whole bunch of study programs, I've had to attend to many administrative tasks this week so far. But you see now that there's published the review questions and problems, and the material for the first 2 weeks are ready. Yeah. So when you are done working with the lab exercises each week, you should go on to these review questions and problems. These are the ones preparing you for the exams. So you hopefully now have completed or are still working on the lab exercises for the previous week, and but if you haven't done them yet, there's no problem. Just keep working on these. Then you see that if we go to review questions and problems, I have two additional theory questions here. This is the kind of questions you will get on the exam. So I expect that you work and do the lab exercises and read if you don't understand what you're doing. So after doing the exercises last week, you should, for instance, understand what a security group is. That you have to open up ports, because ports access, like SSH access to Linux computers, is default deny in OpenStack. So you have to define it in the security group what kind of access you should have. So that's a security group. And similar, like what you've done in the lab, I might ask you to do that on the exam. But of course, then I won't require that you get all the syntax correct. But you know, I expect that you know that when you launch a virtual machine, you should provide what kind of flavor, I mean, what kind of hardware resources, what kind of image it should be based on. How are you going to access it? You should probably provide a public key or a password if it's a Windows or whatever. And maybe which network to connect to. That you know these things. You don't have to get the syntax exactly correct, but this is the kind of questions. So this document is the one that has the problems and prepares you for the exam. So this week, the lab exercise is quite straightforward. You're going to download the template, the launch a heat stack, and then the lab exercise, the problems. There's one review question here, typical exam question, and the problem is to take this template and modify it. You need to do this because then you really understand how heat works. Okay, so that's how this course works with the lab exercises, which should be straightforward, and you should learn what to do, and these are the problems that prepare you for the exam. Okay, so last week we watched this video, and I've now published some notes with which highlights you should watch or with the key elements of this video. For this week, it was just this morning that I finalized finding a better video for OpenStack Heat. So this is a 40-minute video, a lecture of OpenStack Heat, orchestration. And what I do with all these videos, so as I said, this is sort of the flipped classroom setup, that and for me to save work, then I don't have to make the lectures. So I find good lectures for you, and I publish these notes. So waiting for Fronter. Are these also waiting for Fronter? Yeah. So here you see that this is the key elements that I talked about and where I stopped the video where I watched last week. And for this. Yeah. So this video describes the terminology, why, and visualize how the stack describes the heat template and intrinsic functions, etc. So these are the things that if I were to create a lecture on heat, this is what I would do. But this guy knows heat much better than me, so you better listen to him instead. Yep. So, last week, I didn't say anything about it, but I've also linked here to a VI reference card. Because when you log in to a Linux server, you can't use a graphical interface to edit files. So you need to know a text-based editor. And you can choose any editor that you want to work with, but you should learn the basics of VI. So you all need to know that to edit a file, so if I have a file, I can hit I to insert text. I can hit, then I'm in text mode, and I go back to command mode with escape. So I to insert, escape to go back to command, and then to give commands, you write colon and write quit. Here, colon, write, quit. You know, that's the absolute basic of VI. And if you don't want to use VI permanently, you just want to use a simpler text editor, of course, use something like Nano, which is a bit easier. It's more intuitive. There's no difference between command mode and insert mode. You just edit the file, and then you can write out control O or exit with control X. So if I make some changes here, and I hit control X, save modified buffer, then I hit Y to yes, my file, yes. So, so Nano is the simplest one. But the thing is that when you log in, I'm going to administrate Linux servers. If you log in, will you find Nano? Maybe, maybe not. Will you find VI? Yes. You will always find VI. So if you know just the basics of simple editing a file with VI, you can always rescue a situation when you log into a Linux server. If you only know Nano, you're in trouble, because sometime you will log into a Linux server and you won't find Nano. Yeah. So learning the basics. Okay, how many times am I going to do that today? Okay, so learning the basics of VI is considered core system administration knowledge. And then the other thing we need to do quite often is to figure out what is wrong? Something isn't working. I mean, as system administrators, it's your job to make sure things are working. That means two things. That means making sure services are running and examining log files. And The way to do this now, there has been a sort of dramatic change all over the Linux world over the last few years, which I sort of consider completed now with Ubuntu 16.04. So Ubuntu Linux, which is the Linux we use mostly. Ubuntu is released every 6 months, and the release that is in April every second year is a long-term release. So when working professionally, you stick with the release that is called an LTS release, a long-term support release. So we use Ubuntu 16.04, which is LTS. And up until last year, we used 14.04, which was also LTS, long-term support release, meaning it was released in 2014 in April, released in 2016 in April. And now we'll stick with that until the 18.04 release. And from this release, Ubuntu was one of the last distributions of Linux to start using systemd. But systemd is also in Ubuntu from 16.04. And systemd is a new way of managing services and a new way of managing log files. You can still use many of the old tools, but it's very useful to address that systemd is now present almost everywhere. And this is no magic. This link, this document describes it very nicely. The basics, what you have to do. So how you manage services, how you would restart a service, etc. Use viewing logs with journal control, etc. So read this document so you know the basics of systemd. We will need that every now and then. Any questions? So we learned the basics of creating entities in the cloud. And I hope you remember that, so remember that when you log into Sky High, you can go to the network and view your network topology to see what your current setup is. My intention with this course is that you should have some practical difficulties that you have to solve. Meaning, doing this setup with SSH and local port forwarding and dynamic port forwarding to access this internal network. We could have done this a little bit simpler, you should be able to solve these problems anyway. You should be able to do local port forwarding because sometimes you need to do that. But one thing that's sort of a little bit unnecessary complicated is that you have this separate user on the access VM that we use. When I say VM, I mean a virtual machine. So when you do SSH and log in or use PuTTY on Windows and log in to skyhigh.hig.no, you end up on the access VM, on the access server, where you have this local user account, user 0 or user 15 or whatever. Is your user number. And you have then an account and a password on this server, but that's only your local user on that server. Whenever you use Sky-High, whenever you interface with OpenStack, you should use your NTNU user. Meaning you log in to the AccessVM with the username and provided username and password you got from me. But when you start using OpenStack, you need to always use your NTNU identity. And ideally, you should be able to log into the AccessVM also with your NTNU identity, but that's I just haven't had time to set that up. So, but sorry for that confusion. That's sort of an unnecessary thing. Okay, so when you work, you should probably do, or you do the following. You connect by SSH. And on Windows, you can use PuTTY. If you need to transfer files, which you many times need to do, there are several ways of doing this, but one thing you also should know is that the standard way of transferring file is by using SCP. So if I have a file that I want to transfer over SSH, like this, my file I just created, I can SCP it here. If I do this, wow, that was fast. Did I copy the file to the server now? Nope. What did I do? Yes. What I did now is I created a file called that. And that's not much useful. I just did a local copy. So if I want to copy there, I have to add colon. And if I don't add anything else, then it gets copied to my home directory. If I want to copy that file now back to me, I would say SCP, then tilde, my home directory. Oh, does that work? My file dot dot back here. And the SCP program you can download on Windows as well and use it from the command line in Windows in the same syntax. But if doing that, then you, that's called PSCP as part of, if you want to download PuTTY. You'll see that you have PuTTY here. And then you have PSCP. So if you download and use PSCP, then that's the exact same syntax as I showed you now. That's PuTTY SCP. Okay. So let me log in to the AccessVM. Remember, skyhigh.hig.no. And when I log in, I reattach to my screen session. And here I'm already, I have sourced my credentials. Let me just check that this works so I can say OpenStack server list. Yeah, it works, meaning what I've done is that I have done like this to source and then I have my this file, which asks for my password, and this create environments variables with my username and password, so I can use the OpenStack API. Okay, so let me just create a directory for some nonsense. So what we did last week. We learned some useful things that we can do. We can create networks and servers and switches and ports, set security groups, etc. We can do all these things in software. And when we can do all these things, and we should be able to create the server when we need it and destroy it. So with our background in scripting and programming, we should probably get the bright idea that, okay, let me automate this. So let me create infrastructure. Let me create a bash script that can and what I did was so I did this create a key pair and create a network. And in the network, we create a subnet. And in the subnet, we create the router, etc. Then I start, of course, I know that. So the first command line argument should be the key name to this script. So I'm not going to hard code this. This can be a command line parameter, which in a shell script is $1, like this. Etc. So this, I can automate it and create it based on what we know. And then, how am I going to delete it? Okay, I have to also do the, then I have to create a separate script maybe, delete infrastructure. Or I could have one script where I say create or delete. This would be the logical way to go, wouldn't you? From what you know now, this would be what you probably would do if you're going to automate it, right? And do you think this is the way to go? Okay, this is a guiding question or whatever. The question we should always ask ourselves is, does this scale? Okay, if I keep writing this, create bigger and bigger infrastructures, okay, what do I do if something fails? Because one thing depends on the other. Okay, I could insert some if statements, etc. Keep writing like this. But the answer to this is, of course, no. This is not the way to go. Because I don't want to manually script this imperatively with a bunch of checks. I want to have this as one unit. I want to launch an infrastructure, and I want to destroy an infrastructure. So I need the clean and nice and scalable way of doing this is to have a separate language which describes the entire infrastructure. And I can just say launch, I can say freeze, I can say delete. And that's what orchestration is about. So what I would do instead of doing this, or what we will do, is of course Now let me. So let's try to visualize this. I have these two networks. So this is my current network topology. Because this is the I'm working on a separate thing here. I have the external network, I have a router, and I have a switch, and I have some servers. And now I need to create another router, hook it up to the external network with a switch and two servers. Basically what we did last week. And what I can do now is I do this. I say OpenStack, stack create this template file here with this environment file here, and it should be called heat demo. And it says stack create in progress. Let me reload this. Something is happening. I got a network here. Ah, it's happening live, actually. Ah, I got two servers. Cool. Is this completed now? I can do an OpenStack stack list. Sometimes the API is a little bit slow. Yeah. So you see my stack heat demo and the status is create complete. And it's here. They're probably still booting, but I don't know if I... Yeah, I'm not on the VPN, so I can't view the console here now, but it's booting up. So that's orchestration. You use a language to compose an infrastructure, and then you treat it as one unit. That's what you do. You do not write these imperative scripts. And the language you use is the Heat language, which is based on YAML. Let's see. So don't take offense to the kind of titles that are on the articles I ask you to read. But here you have the complete idiot's guide into no introduction to YAML. So this describes YAML syntax. YAML and JSON is basically the same. Has anyone of you know JSON? To describe data in JSON format? Yeah. So basically, if you want to do programming and describe objects, you use JSON. Why do you do that? Because you rarely, as a human, have to read JSON. We could use JSON, but we are humans, system administrators, who are going to view these files often and want to read and understand them. And then YAML is much easier to read. There are like two or three differences, meaning I don't always remember. I think it's if you have multi-lines, they are much easier to read in YAML. And I think YAML supports comments, which JSON does not. But in principle, think of YAML and JSON as exactly the same thing. Some people say that JSON is a subset of YAML, which other people argue that it's not. Anyway, think of JSON and YAML is pretty much the same. JSON you use when you program, YAML you use when you do system administration and you need configuration files and a simpler language that humans read. So you will see that when you do system administration, you use YAML more than JSON. But if you're going to do orchestration, with Amazon's language, then that's JSON-based. And you can also use JSON with OpenStack Heat, but I think then you lose some of the features. Yeah. So, and YAML is very simple syntax, but you have to know that indentation is important. So, let me show you. So, I now have this this infrastructure here. Okay, I'm done with it. I'm not going to do well. I can show you that I can log into it. If I do an OpenStack server list now, I got server 1 and server 2. So let's see that I can log in. I should probably be able to. Yep, I'm logged into server 1 now. Then I can do things here. Do a lab exercise, if you will. And then I log out. Okay, I don't need this anymore. This Heat demo stack. So I can just say stack, delete. It's a bit easier than going to the hardware store and buying equipment. So this is what we do in practice. The exercise we did last week was just to learn how to use OpenStack manually. But what you will do in practice is whenever you need an infrastructure, you describe it in Heat, and then you launch it. And this is the cool thing that, like, when you need to use, like, Amazon or a really big cloud, I probably showed you this last time as well, that so you need a web application infrastructure. You need this. Well, what you do is on Amazon, you can download an orchestration template that describes this. So you just download the template that describes it, which is in JSON syntax on Amazon, and then you just launch it with your preferred parameters, your SSH keys, etc., how you want to access it. And then within, you know, half an hour, this is up and running. And you can process the entire thing as one stack. Okay, so how does this, I ran this command. So we have these servers in uNeutralNet, which is what you will do in the exercise. I've asked you to do this. This is the command I just used. Because the developers of OpenStack Heat, of course, they create a bunch of demos. And they really know what they're doing. So for us to start writing a Heat template from scratch, that's not a good idea. You know, all best practice, reuse the best code from the best people. Always do that. So if I'm going to create an infrastructure, let me go to the Heat developers, find a good example, and then I'll modify that based on my needs. So here we have these servers in uNeutralNet. This is the one we're going to use. And here you see the syntax of Heat. YAML syntax. That means that you have the name of a variable, sort of, or a name of a section or whatever, and colon. And then indentation is important. So here are the parameters, and all the parameters are indented the same way, you see? And there's key name, colon, it has a type, it has a description. There's an image which has a type and a description. So it states a heat template version which corresponds to which OpenStack release. OpenStack also releases same way as Ubuntu every 6 months. Once in April, once in October, every year. So this format of this is compatible since the 2013 May release. So it was in May this year. The version, some description. This means in YAML that it's a multi-line, if I'm not mistaken. And the parameters, because you really want to, you know, we always want to separate code and data. So if I'm going to describe an infrastructure, you will quite quickly see that I don't want to hard code all the IP addresses. I want to provide parameters. I want a generic template with some stuff hard coded and something I want to give as parameters so I can reuse it more easily. So that's why we say that we like public net, which public net that the server should connect to, that I should provide as a parameter. So I define the parameters. Then I define the resources. And that are that's the components that we create in OpenStack. We create a network. We create a subnetwork. We create a router. It's a router interface, etc. And in here, we use this intrinsic functions like get resource to refer, so the subnet needs to refer that it should be created in this network. So you see get resource private net this here. And then the gateway IP that's provided as a parameter. So I do get parameter. And so this is what you have 1 week to learn. That's the goal for this week, to be comfortable with this syntax, the heat syntax. And as I said, your problem for this week is to take this and modify it a bit. And after you have done all the resources that you're going to create, you specify what should be the output. What information should be registered in OpenStack as output from this, and I can retrieve at any time later. So if there's a floating IP that has been created, then I should be able to retrieve that as output, etc. I can do it like this. So I can say OpenStack stack create with this template, and then I specify all the parameters like this. You can do this if you want to, but this looks ugly. When there's a whole bunch of parameters, let's throw the parameters, the data, in a separate file. That's much easier. And that's what we do. So, I had this. This is the file I just showed you, which is a template file. And then I have I say environment, this file, heat demo environment. So you just put the parameters in YAML format with parameters colon on top instead of providing all of them on the command line. This is all in this week's lab exercise. This is the command I use. This is the parameters file you should use. So as I said, the lab exercises are just for you to download this and create this file, run this command, and see that you can create an infrastructure. And then the problem is that this creates two identical servers. But what if you don't want two identical servers. You probably want to create an infrastructure with one Linux server and one Windows server. So take this template and modify it, which means you have to add some parameters. Modify the template from the lab exercise in such a way that the two servers can be different. Also allow for a list of security groups to be added as parameters to each server. Delete the heat stack from the previous exercise and launch it again, but this time with an Ubuntu and a Windows instance. So that's your goal for this week, because this means you need to know how heat syntax works. And to do this is quite easy if you use the resources I've listed here. I recommend now, since we only have this hour, spend the next hour watching this video, getting started with OpenStack Heat, with the notes I've shown you here, because here you have a proper presentation, like so he describes what the template is, etc., what the resource is, and so on, and he has a nice illustration of the logic of this template, etc. So watch this, read this introduction to OpenStack Heat if you want to read it as well, which basically says the same thing, explain what is a stack, what is a template, what is a parameter, what is a resource. The heat terminology you need to know. And then, when you start working with this, if you want to expand and create bigger things, which you will probably do later in the course, if you want a complete overview of anything you can create in Heat, you have a link to all the OpenStack resource types here, and you have all the other reference material. But remember that these three links, these you should read. This is what I expect you to know. In parentheses, are useful resources. So if you don't find what you're looking for here, you want to look up something in the reference, then study these. Okay? Any questions? Tomorrow, I'm here the entire lab session tomorrow, of course. So where I expect that we do this, and I'll help you out with any problem you have. And of course, tomorrow, if you're still working on last week's exercise, no problem, I'll help you with that tomorrow as well. Okay, then, see you tomorrow.